the Gospel of John, chapter 17. And we'll read just one verse, verse number 9. I remind you, the 17th chapter of John is Jesus' prayer just before he is arrested and tried and crucified. This is basically the only complete prayer that we have recorded that he prayed out loud that we are aware of, besides a portion of prayer, a small portion of prayer in the Garden of Eden. This prayer here with his 11 disciples, his 11 apostles gathered around him, is the only full prayer that we have recorded of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 1 to 5, he prayed for himself and for his Father that they both might be glorified. And now he has turned his attention to his disciples. All right, John 17. We'll read just verse 9 and make the sermon out of that verse. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Last week, Brother Tim Tripp was with us and preached a very good message on the church. So it's been 2 weeks since we've been here in John's Gospel. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at verses 6, 7, and 8. And we considered how that Jesus commended, not condemned, but commended, praised, complimented, how he commended his 11 disciples to God in prayer, even though they were far from perfect men. These 11 were not perfect men, but they were genuine disciples with an unfeigned faith and a sincere heart. He also commended them to God in prayer by saying that they understood and believed that he was of God. They understood and believed that Jesus was from heaven, and they understood and they believed that he was the promised Messiah. We stressed over and over and over again that these men were not perfect. They struggled at times with weak faith. They had difficulty at times understanding what Jesus was teaching. They would soon, within just hours, desert him in the midst of danger. And one of them would go so far as to deny knowing Jesus Christ. And yet, Jesus commends them to God in prayer. Jesus speaks well of them. He uses them, in fact, these 11 men who were not perfect, who struggled to believe, who struggled with faith, who struggled to understand, he uses them to push the infant church forward into all the world. You see, it is genuine and sincere faith. It is a genuine and sincere heart, not the perfect actions that matter. I want you to understand that. It is the condition of your heart. It is the belief of your heart. It is a genuine heart, a sincere heart, not perfect actions that matter. Now, to be sure, I must clarify this because I don't want to give you the wrong impression. To be sure, you and I should strive for complete obedience to God. We should have a strong faith, and we should be faithful in service to God. But when we fail, and we do, we have, we will, when we fail, it is our sincere heart and genuine faith that will be there to commend us to God. Okay? I hope that you grasp that. I hope you understand that. I hope that you agree with that. We should strive for complete and perfect obedience to God. We should have a strong faith. We should be faithful in our service to Him. But when we fail, it is our sincere and it is our genuine heart that will commend us to God. We then went on to notice that verse 8 is really simply an expansion of verses 6 and 7. And we consider the order given in verse 8. First, Jesus gave them the words of God. Second, they receive those words. Third, they understand and know those words. And fourth, they believe. And that is exactly what we're practicing here this morning. And every time we meet, as I try my best to deliver you the faithful words of God, you should receive them willingly, openly receive them, and then you should seek to learn and understand them, and then you should believe them. I spoke on the vital importance that the Word of God is in the life of a Christian. Listen, whenever you hear a pastor preach on prayer, the importance of prayer in the Christian's life, whenever you hear a preacher preach on the importance of the Bible in the Christian's life, that is not just something cliche. That is not, and I'm afraid that we look at that as cliche. The Bible and prayer in our lives is vitally important to our health and growth as a Christian. And I spoke 2 weeks ago about the importance of the Word of God in your Christian life. You cannot grow, you cannot be strong, you cannot have a growing faith unless you read your Bible. And then I concluded with the vital importance of prayer in the Christian's life. Even though God already knows what we have need of before we ask, we are still supposed to ask. And I stress the vital importance of prayer. Now in John 17 and verse number 9, Jesus says, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. One thing you must see, one thing that must be burned into your mind this morning, one thing that must be etched into your heart this morning, and this will be the message. This will be what I want you to go home with. This will be what I want you to think about all week. And it is this: Christians are not of this world. I pray for them, Jesus said. I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me, for they are thine. Christians are not of this world. True believers and true followers of Jesus Christ are not of this world. Look, if you will, verse number 6. Let's see this. Jesus prays this over and over and over. Verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me, what? Out of the world. Look at verse number 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Verse number 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are what? Not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse number 16. They are what? Not of the world, even as I am not of the world. One thing that I want to be burned into your mind and etched in your heart is that the true believer, the true follower of Jesus Christ, the genuine Christian, is not of this world. Jesus repeats it over and over and over and over again. Not of this world. Not of this world. Not of this world. Not of this world. Because He wants to impress us with this truth. Jesus says here that He prays only for His disciples. He prays only for His true followers. He does not pray for the world. Listen, the only prayer for the world The only prayer that we should make for the world, the only prayer that Christ made for the world, is that the world might be saved. That is the prayer for the world. That is the prayer for the lost, is that they might be saved. Whatever you pray for your lost friends about, you ought to pray that they might be saved. That is paramount. That is first and foremost. Everything else does not matter, but that they might be saved. In our text this morning, Jesus is praying and interceding for his true followers. He's praying for them as their mediator. They are days, if not hours, from experiencing frightening and uncertain world. And seemingly on their own. Now, they won't be on their own, but it's going to seem like they're on their own. Jesus will no longer be bodily present with them. And so they're about ready to face a frightening world, an uncertain world. And he's praying for them as their mediator. He's interceding for them. And he's praying and interceding for us as well. The question that needs to be asked today is this. This we won't go anywhere else. This is where we'll stay. And as a matter of fact, God may lead me here again next time we're in John. The question that needs to be asked. You need to ask yourself this question. Am I of this world? There are only two groups of people that matter in the world. There are only two classifications that matter, is what I'm trying to say. Didn't come out right the first time. There are only two classifications in the world that matter. Those who belong to Jesus Christ and those who are of the world. Those are the only two classifications that really matter. Those who are saved and in Christ and those who are lost and in the world. This is the distinction that really matters. As Christians, we get caught up, and we shouldn't do this. Now listen, we should not do this. If you're hearing a Christian, you should not do this. But Christians get caught up in other distinctions that are really not important. Christians get caught up in other distinctions that really don't matter. And many times, Christians get defeated. They get defeated by paying attention to distinctions that really do not matter. Listen, when it comes time to die, there's only one distinction that matters. When you're on your deathbed, drawing your last few breaths, there's only one distinction that matters. Am I in Christ or am I of the world? Am I saved or am I lost? That's the only distinction that matters. Listen, when you're on your deathbed, it's not going to matter to you whether you are a Republican or a Democrat. When you are on your deathbed, it's not going to matter to you. It will, listen, I promise you, it will not matter to you whether you were rich or poor. When you are on your deathbed, it is not going to matter one iota to you whether you are black or white. It is not going to matter whether you are educated, highly educated, or barely able to read. It is not going to matter. I promise you this. I promise you this. On your deathbed, whether it's in the emergency room with tubes going in and out of you, or whether you are an old man or an old woman, it is not going to matter whether you lived on Easy Street or the wrong side of the track. It is not going to matter whether you were beautiful in this life or whether you were barely pretty. It's not going to matter whether you are popular and known by the throngs or whether you are virtually unknown and known only to family. None of those distinctions matter. None of those things matter. Do you understand that? None of those things matter. The only thing that matters is this. Am I in Christ or am I of the world? When you're drawing your final breath, those other things will not matter one iota. An old English proverb, and maybe you've heard it before, maybe you've used it before. Death is the great leveler death makes all men basically equal. Right? Death makes all men equal. The only thing that really matters, am I in Christ? Am I a genuine Christian? Am I really saved? Or am I of this world? So why then do we fret over the other things? If they don't really matter, why do we fret over the other things? Why do we let the other things discourage us? Why do we let the other things worry us? Why do we let the other things defeat us if they don't really matter? If the only thing that really matters is whether I'm a Christian or not, then why let the other things defeat us? And I'm telling you right now, Christians too often let the other classifications, other distinctions, depress them, defeat them, discourage them, worry them, when those things do not matter. Someone has said, and you've all heard it, don't sweat the small stuff. How shallow and superficial are we to bother ourselves with distinctions that do not matter? Now, they may matter to a small degree, but in the grand scheme, they don't. They don't. The main thing is this. Are you of Christ, or are you of this world? Do you love Jesus Christ, or do you love this world? The Christian, as we've seen in John 17 over and over again, is separated from the world. That's what Jesus emphasizes. That's what he emphasizes in verse 6, in verse 9, 16, and 18. The Christian is separated from the world. Now listen, it's nothing to be ashamed of. Are you listening? It's nothing to be embarrassed of. It's something to glory in. It's something to rejoice in. The fact that you are in a different classification as most of the people out there, it's not something to be embarrassed about. It's something to rejoice in. What a tragedy when Christians seem to be ashamed of the fact that they're not of this world. And they're always trying to conform themselves to the world. We should spend our time trying to conform ourselves more and more to Jesus Christ. And it is a shame when the Christian who is in a different class altogether, a different distinction altogether, it is a shame when the Christian spends their time trying to look and sound and fit in with the world. You are not of the world. You are in a different group. Rejoice in that. Embrace that. Don't be embarrassed of that. Don't spend your time trying to be more like the wicked world, more like this evil world, but spend your time trying to be more like Jesus Christ. Listen. It's not a good sign when we so badly want to fit into the world. We want to look like them. We want to talk like them. We want to go everywhere they go. We want to think like them. We want to act like them. It's just not a good sign. Not a good sign for a Christian. Not a good sign when we seek to blend in with our wicked surroundings. And do not let our differences in Christ shine forth and shine through. I'll give my own amen. Amen, preacher. That's right. It's not a good sign when the believer who is in a different classification, removed from the world, separated from the world, not of the world. It's not a good sign when they spend their time and they want so badly to fit in with those people in the world. They want to look like them and talk like them and go where they go and act like them and think like them. It's not a good sign when the Christian wants to blend in with his surroundings in this world. The Christian ought to be happy to let the differences between him and the world shine forth. At work or school, do you, a professing Christian, try to blend in with the unsaved men and women? You don't want to seem odd. You don't want anybody to notice there's a difference. So you talk like they talk and you act like they act so that you're not ridiculed, so that you don't stand out. That is not a good, healthy sign. We are marked men and women. As believers, we are marked men and women, and we are different men and women, and we ought to let that difference shine before this world, not try to blend in with them so that we're not noticed, so that we're just one of the guys. The Scriptures are full of this doctrine. Romans 12, 1 and 2, most of you are familiar with it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. You know what's next? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are you going to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God when you are blending in with your wicked surroundings? James 4:4. Know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Look, if you will, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John, near the end of the book. 1 John chapter 2. Verses 15, 16, and 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. John makes that distinction again in chapter 5 and verse number 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. There's that distinction. We are of God, but the world lieth in wickedness. Paul draws the distinction very clear in Ephesians. We read it this morning, chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. That which we read in our second reading this morning, that distinction in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, that distinction is very clear. There is the world and the wickedness of the world, and there is us. Here again is the question. Are you in Christ? Or are you of this world? To be of this world is, now listen, to be of this world is life thought of, listen, to be of this world is life thought of and lived apart from God. Life thought of and lived apart from God. being of the world is not so much what we do as it is our attitude toward God and our attitude toward the world. It's our attitude toward everything. Toward God. The attitude toward ourselves. The attitude toward our life in this world. If you are of this world, you view all of these things apart from God. Now listen. Worldliness, some people would like to just boil it down and say this. Worldliness is going to a theater and watching a movie. Or maybe going to a theater and watching a specific movie. Or worldliness is listening to certain types of music. That's worldliness. But let me broaden the definition of worldliness and say that worldliness is living your life in all, whatever you do, with no thought of God. No thought of God. That's worldliness. If you can go through your day and God not be in your thoughts, you are most likely of this world. If you can make major decisions and God not enter into that thought process, you are most likely of this world. If you can partake in life's blessings and God be not part of the equation, you are most likely of this world. If you can commit sins and God not be in your thoughts before you commit those sins, during your commission of those sins, or after the commission of those sins, you are most likely a part of this world. If you only think of God when you are in a jam, and you only think of God when you are in trouble, you are most likely of this world. Psalms chapter 10 and verse number 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. I don't know about you. There's no way that I can get into your head. I only know about me. And I'm just telling you what is true in my life. God is in my thoughts every day, many, many times throughout the day. I am constantly aware of God. I am constantly thinking about God. Now listen. Understand me here. I'm about ready to close 10 minutes early. Imagine that. I'm not trying at all, not in the least, trying to project some type of spirituality for myself. That's not at all what this is. I'm telling you how it is in my life. God seems to be always in my mind. And in my thoughts. I promise you there is never a day in which I have not thought about God. Not thought about what he would want. Not thought about what his will is. Not thought about how he's viewing me. God is constantly in my... You say, well, you're a preacher. That goes with the territory. No, I don't think so. I don't believe so. I believe that is the life of a Christian. God is always in their thoughts. And I stress this, in Christ or of the world, because this is, Jesus is going to, he prays this and he mentions it several times. These men are not of the world. They were taken out of the world. They're no longer part of the world. The world hates them because they're not of the world. And you and I, we are either of this world or we are in Jesus Christ. And if you are indeed in Jesus Christ, then quit trying to blend in with the world. Embrace the distinction. Embrace the difference. Let your light shine. Be the salt of the earth. Quit trying to fit in. Embrace the distinction between you and the world. Show forth Christ. But the question this morning is this: are you of the world? Or are you in Christ? It's really the only distinction that matters. I know that, you know, the rich and the poor and the smart and not so smart, and the looks or no looks, and sometimes the black and white, and Democrat, Republican, that stuff we're faced with every day. We're faced with that stuff every day. But those are distinctions that do not matter. What matters is if you are in Christ. And I hope that you're in Christ this morning. And I hope that He is a part of your thoughts. May God bless the teaching and preaching of His Word. May God bless His little flock at Beth Haven. Let's pray. Father, I pray You bless the preaching of Your Word. Do what I cannot do. Speak to the hearts of those who have heard. Father, for those that are believers, I pray that You have spoke to all of our hearts. If we're a believer, I pray, if we're one of Your children, I pray that You have dealt with us and will continue to speak with us about this distinction and embracing our distinction, not trying to fit in with the world, not trying to conform ourselves to the world. And Father, if there are people in this room that are of the world, You are not in all their thoughts. I pray that You would save them today. Please bless Your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. You've been a blessing to my heart just by being here. God bless you.